So you said you were telling me, or you were beginning to tell me a little bit about what you wanted to get out of this, and you said that ultimately you wanted to have a girlfriend long term. You know.
Yes.
So I have a lot of questions about that.
Sure.
Probably more. What the most important question I have though is why do you want to get a girlfriend?
My particular brain type, whatever it is, functions better with a partner.
Okay.
So not necessarily a girlfriend. I mean, it could be a different social situation of, say, just a couple of close friends and a sexual partner.
Mm-hmm.
Or, but really, the quickest, simplest solution is a quality girlfriend.
Okay. So what I'm not understanding, which I am understanding, but really it doesn't make any sense, so I need to call this out.
Go for it.
Is what you mean by your particular brain type?
I'm, at least for my mother, got my hands on me, tested as incredibly intellectually gifted. 3 degrees, there were no sweats. My friend's life boss got his first degree at the age of 12.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently we form a particular group type. Mm-hmm. And what I notice about us is we kind of fall into different categories, class 1 through 4. I'm currently a class 3-4, it's kind of the shitty ones.
Mm-hmm.
The ones most famous, the ones that look good, do good at sports, so those are class 1s. with this pattern, usually kind of splits up, people either have a buddy growing up like them,
mm-hmm.
right, so they can do all this kind of stuff and they're not considered weird by it. So there's at least a someone, right? Or they find a girlfriend, they settle down quickly, relatively quickly in their life, but they also settle well.
Okay, so why do they do that, do you think?
Why? Our brains work better. I know mine does.
But why is that? And why is it that the smarter you get, the faster you want to settle down? That would be a strange correlation, you know what I mean?
No. You know, tens of thousands of ideas, you know, running, and you can do all this stuff in your head. I need grounding.
Grounding. Okay, but why do you need grounding is what I'm trying to say. That's what I'm asking, rather.
It's this particular state without some form of companionship is not working.
Okay, so this is important.
Okay.
So I think that what you're saying is that this is outside of the realm of society. I mean, society doesn't understand this. So you're being kicked out for your... even for all your smartness, it's not helping you just be happy,
no,
which is...
smartness is a negative.
Which is... yeah, exactly. It works against you in this case, right? I don't know that I'm smart. I don't think I am.
You're enlightened.
Maybe. I'm definitely not enlightened. I have lots of lies in my life still, for sure. But I definitely have, my IQ test genius, but that doesn't matter at all. And it's, if I had to do it again, it would probably be terrible.
Yeah.
Just kind of how it is.
I do.
But ultimately, this process that you have right now is one of the only beliefs that you have. This is the one you're swimming in every day. So this has got to fucking go. Yeah. I mean, it's great that you're really smart. That's awesome. You know, again, knowledge is means application. So that means that if you're actually smart, then you'll be applying all this knowledge and you'll be leveling up over and over again, which will be fantastic. It'll be a really good combination for the two of us. You're probably personality type wise. You know, you're definitely an intuitive, probably an introverted intuitive, even though you talk a lot. I would guess that you're introverted.
Train myself to act as an extrovert.
Probably INTJ. INTJ, ENTPs. INTJ, and I'm an ENTP. That's called a power couple or a power combo.
Okay.
ENTPs see the outside world with extreme clarity, and INTJs see the inside world with extreme clarity. It's really interesting.
Yeah, because we're talking about seeing the systems.
Seeing the systems behind things, right. So I understand pretty clearly what you're talking about. Some of my really great friends are INTJs, and
okay.
It's a very, very logical type. Yeah? Oh, you're an INTJ, yeah.
INTJ.
Yeah, Connor's an INTJ as well. And it's a very... very intellectual type, very logical in a lot of ways. Good.
Okay, I also have to say, but what I found difficulty with, though, is that I've also got a very big personality, right? I hang out with math geeks, I'll do musical theater. I have a friend who's a fashion model from Hong Kong.
Mm-hmm.
I try to blend in anywhere, and I find that trying to move, I can move between these pods of people, but I can't bring them together. Respect.
Yeah, perspectives. Yeah.
That's your strength.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It allows you to individually connect with people, but in social situations, it would require that you have to do too much parallel processing in order to understand what people are thinking. So there's something called the functions,
okay.
And there are 8 functions. I don't need to go into them now because it's not that important. But ultimately, there's I have a pattern recognition function.
Right.
That's my genius. That's my level of genius is
mm-hmm.
pattern recognition. So. Whereas I can see patterns, I don't look at individuals, I look at patterns.
Yes.
Now, I like looking at individuals to see patterns, but that's it. That's the only reason why I look at individuals.
Right.
So ultimately, you're looking at individuals to figure people out individually. You're perspectiving, basically. You're going, okay, imagine that I'm that person over there. What do I do? What am I thinking? That's how you think. But then putting them within context becomes difficult. But that's only because you haven't worked on that area of your brain. It's just something that you work on. And then when you work on it, you get better at it, and then you'll figure it out, you know? So the things that are kind of blocking you right now are the things you think you know about yourself. This is something you think you know about yourself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because now you have boundaries, whereas you're smart enough to have no boundaries if you just don't put them on you. And I was kind of mentioning earlier getting your lid blown off, which is kind of like the, I'll just explain what it is. Essentially, we all have a reality. Everyone here has some way in which you perceive the world. That reality is based on your beliefs, all the way down to your morals, which are your core beliefs surrounding your nothingness, essentially. And your reality allows you to exist in a world in harmony, basically. Not necessarily that makes you happy, but in a way that doesn't affect your world in a negative way. For example, you believe that as you cross the street, you need to look both ways before you cross the street, or you're going to get hit by a car. So every time you walk up to a road, you look both ways automatically. It's a habit based on a belief that you have that it's dangerous to cross the street without doing this. You learn that when you're young, and then it gets ingrained deeply into your psyche, essentially, to keep you alive. It's a survival mechanism, you know? As you perceive the outside world, you feed your brain with knowledge about the outside world, and that knowledge then becomes belief systems in your mind. But the problem is, this is sort of the loophole that we have in the human mind, is that once you have beliefs, your eyes now only see things that validate that belief system. And so anything outside of that is what's called outside of your reality. So how many people in here have walked up to a girl you never met before, didn't say anything, and made out with her? Has anyone done that before? You have?
Dancing,
right? Okay, great. So body language then.
Walked up to me.
Oh, she walked up to you. Okay. So before that happens, this is great. So before that happened, there is a belief in your mind that isn't really something that's possible. And then when it comes, if you reject that idea, it won't be a part of your reality. It won't happen. But if you accept or say yes to the idea, then it becomes part of your reality. The finesse in being alive is really focused around being able to say yes to the things that are good for you in the moment. Being able to say yes to pretty much everything. And then picking and choosing what it is you want to believe. Does that make sense?
Does everyone?
There are a lot of roles that we play. All those roles will go away while you're in this class. I won't stand for any of them to be here. Some of them sound good too. Like, does anyone here have kids? You do? Okay, father is a role you play. That role cannot exist because that role is not real. That's something that you have to become and something you have to act like. It's not something that you are. And so in the last course, we had a guy who was a father, and he was just really scared of this idea because, you know, it means a lot of scary things because you identify as a father. It's a terrible process to go through to have to learn how to be a father. It's, like, really scary. And there's a lot of pressure, and there's a lot of strength that comes from that, too. Like, you do things you never thought you could do because now you're a father and you have to do that. But that's a weak place to draw strength from. Instead of having a role that forces you to do this, you instead are just doing the thing that you want to do, which is raise your kids in whatever way you want to do that, right? But being a father is not something that you want to be. It's a deeply rooted role that's celebrated by society, but still captivity is celebrated by society. So you don't want to be captive. It's just not going to work. You can't do that. Anyway, I'm getting kind of going. I always kind of go around, but hope you don't mind that I do that. To kind of get back to you in particular, the reason why you want a girlfriend is so that you can know that you belong here. I'm going to give you a way to know that you belong here without having a girlfriend. I'm going to give you a way to have a girlfriend if you want, not because you need something, but because maybe you want that experience, but no other reason. The current reason why you want a girlfriend is based on fear, and that fear will be annihilated. It can't stay. You can't have that fear and get a girlfriend. It won't work. You know, it's the biggest catch-22 in the universe. You know what I mean? Like, you want something, and therefore you can't have it.
Okay.
It's just like that. As soon as you don't want it anymore, though, you can have it. So, if you're that smart, which you are, control your mind.
To be able to control my mind so that where my mind works as if I have a girlfriend, but I don't.
Yes.
And then I'll be able to pick and choose and get one.
Exactly.
If I want.
Yep. If you still want one. But in order to get one, you have to not want one, essentially, you know?
Gotcha.
So, it's a very strange thing that we have to do to ourselves, but it works very, very well. Are you laughing because you've seen this before?
Yeah, I mean, it's me as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, perfect.
So that first one, train my mind.
Yeah.
Bring it on.
Yeah, you're going to level up here for sure. I can see that happening. So this is going to be a very fun time for you. Brad and Connor are the field coaches. They will be monitoring and giving you feedback on everything you do in field. This is where most of the change happens because you get to put the concepts, the content, into a context. So knowledge is basically content and context. That's all that it is. Having content is not knowledge. Having content is just knowing shit. That's not knowledge. Knowledge is knowing when to do and when not to do something as well. Actually, it's more understanding, but who cares? We don't want to get into semantics. Ultimately, redefine your concept of knowledge from just content to context and content. In this way, you can... You will never be lied to again. You will never, no one can ever deceive you, which is fantastic. But also you can control your mind and the world around you in a way that seems supernatural. Almost inherently powerful, like a god. And this is sort of what I've been able to become, is this personality, which is why you're drawn here, why we're having this conversation in the first place. And I hope that this, well, I don't know, I don't really care if it comes across as arrogant. I do want to note, though, that it's not coming from a place of arrogance at all. I don't have any association or care for that truth. It just seems to be that that's the case. And as you understand this process, that will become your power. But again, in order to have that power, you have to not want that power. It's kind of a strange thing, right? So what I want for you, which I'm going to write down here... which is a little different than what you said, is I want you to see the system for you. In my last course, I had someone who I said the same thing to. There are probably several people in this group who I want to see the system, but you're definitely one of them. I think once you see the system, it's just fucking, no one's going to be able to stop you. It's just going to be amazing for you, you know.
I can see parts of it.
Yeah, you definitely do.
Big blocks.
Yeah, I definitely. I can see that. And you'll be happy to know that those blocks do make a complete system. And they do work. I know that was a big fear for me that this was all leading nowhere. But it leads somewhere. There is a process. It's not as exciting as probably the world would have you to believe. And the truths behind everything are kind of silly. But either way, it's...
Curiosity is my core value.
Okay, great. That's another belief, but that's a pretty good one. You know, that serves you, you know. That's something you learned as an adult. That belief. You know what I mean? I know because it helps. So I'm just going to put down see the matrix. If all you do is see the matrix before you leave, then this will be a total success for me.
Okay.
Because that is, once you see it, you'll be kicking ass. I know that. Okay? Cool. Thank you very much for doing that. So, Alberto.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course. So Alberto, same thing for you. First, I want to get any question that you have for me. If you had to ask one question, what would it be? And then I'll get into the rest later. So,
yeah. So, one question too would be in your private life. So, do you have a girlfriend? And do you have children? So do you have also normal life? So, really, because for example, those day gamers, for example. There it was more. I saw it was more like having fun, you know, just approach and not showing neediness. Mm-hmm. And But I'd say that there was, for example, never the word love or something, or family, never. It's just really approach and then have fun and then pick up.
Mm.
And use what I liked then in yours, in your on your side, was that you show also more human parts, and that you also really want that those people can improve their life, really their life.
Yeah.
And I did those approaches there, and because I was told to do it, so go approach. But then after that, I never did it again. So I got a few numbers, but then okay, it was London. So then I went to Luxembourg, and so there was no contact. It was just to do it. So I saw, okay, I can do it, but I didn't feel at ease. Honestly, I didn't feel at ease. And so I saw how we do it, but okay, but that's it. And I don't want to be a pickup artist. I also don't have the age for that.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, how old are you?
42.
Yeah, I think that Mystery is 43 or something. He's probably a little bit older than you.
Yeah.
And he's
and
ridiculous
so,
at this. So anyway, you're not too old to do that. I'm not saying that don't. So here's what we have currently. I'm listening to you talk, and I'm seeing the truth behind what you're saying. Is probably not what you're saying, but I'm seeing the truth behind it. What you're really asking me is there a way for you to stay who you are and become who you need to be? That's really the question. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not a matter of whether or not I do have a girlfriend. You met Kelsey. You know,
yeah.
She's fantastic. I did go through this phase of like dating hundreds of women and sleeping with a bunch of women and picking them up and everything. It was fantastic.
Because those guys, they don't have problems because they cannot be serious guys.
Right. Well, they can. But they are. I mean, I know Andy, and he's a very nice guy, and he's a friend of mine, and he's a serious guy in real life, you know?
I didn't meet
him. Oh, he's a nice guy.
Just met John and Tom.
Okay. I don't think I know either of them, actually, but they sound like American names.
Sparkers. No,
yeah.
One is Welsh. The other one is English.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, ultimately, the reason why I'm kind of bringing up your real question is because you don't see your real question right now, because you can't look at it directly. Your real question is something that you probably don't even want to admit to yourself. That's probably why you're not looking at it directly. It's probably why you're beating around the bush here a little bit. You've got a family. You got, you know, a kid, as you said, right? You're 42, which is my favorite number. See, 42. And you want to know, you don't want to start over. You don't want to become something that you're not in your mind. But I will tell you right now that thought process will not get you anywhere. The thought that you don't want to become something that you're not. And the answer, honestly, the answer is, can you be who you are and then become who you need to be? No. The person that you are now has to die. He has to. I'm not saying you need to do something that you won't respect in yourself. I'm saying that you shouldn't respect who you are now. I'm saying that this is a lie. I'm not saying that what you're going to become is a lie. You know, that's how I want you to look at this, because this is a lie. This isn't you. You didn't choose this. This was chosen for you. You know, you became this because people told you to do this. And when you were younger, you did what you had to do. Because you were a kid. You listened because you were a kid. You know, it's not a sign of weakness that you did that. It's everyone does this. You know, everyone falls in line like that. What I want you to question is, which one's real? Who are you really? You know.
Yes, that's the point. Because when I saw your products and I read it and so on, so I really liked all that psychology behind all that.
Yeah.
And I'm also interested in that part here, because I'm speaking, but I felt very comfortable just sitting here. And listening to you, and it's really interesting, and the information is there are a few points that I picked up from all those that stuff. And then it's different, because now you are there, and normally I am also on that side. So I'm a teacher, so I teach languages, not English, of course. And,
oh, you have good English there. Your English is very good.
And so I also then give my students all those I give motivation and
right.
And explanations and all that stuff. and that there is also stuff that I took from your products, and that I gave to my students now,
mm-hmm.
and they really appreciated it. So
right.
I was really happy to see that I can also take from your products the things, because they are great, really. And so I really believe that's why I'm here. It can make me a better person,
mm-hmm.
and also help people around me to be happier.
Okay.
I just feel that, really.
Okay.
So, but the thing is just that I have so information here and there, and I give sometimes then that information to other people. But for me, there is nothing.
Okay.
I don't have I don't benefit from it, really. So I, for example, to approach a girl, or I'm too afraid, too shy to do it, and so on. So in front of the class, I'm very confident that I can speak, it's no problem. But then outside, I'm really reserved and really shy, and so it's very difficult for me to have no friends. So it's very difficult.
Okay. Okay. So what you're doing right now, this is called purging. So this is a really important thing for you to do, because you have to feel understood right now. That's really what this is all about. Because you don't want to believe what I'm telling you. I know that you don't, because if you did, you would be processing it. And I know you don't want to believe it, but it's a good thing I'm telling you. It's not as scary. I mean, it's scary. Don't get me wrong. It's scary, you know? But it's a very good thing for you that who you are right now is not who you really are.
I think that that's
okay.
Right. I don't feel like me. I just feel that I'm
okay.
I'm like I'm here because, and then I have to do my job and be a father. I love my daughter, of course, very very much, but she's just with me during the weekend also. So I also it's also very interesting. People always then say yes, I go with my friends. Or, so I don't have friends and I don't have family. So I just have my daughter, and nobody else, and
right.
the weekend, and no friends also. So, but people don't see that. So when I'm there in that classroom, nobody sees and notices. So
right.
I'm happy and joking, kidding all the time. But
mm-hmm.
yeah.
So here's the challenge with the way you're thinking currently. There's imagine a perfect student for you in language, right? What do they do? What do they like? I mean, they probably hear you say something, and then they just accept that as truth, right? Whatever it is you're saying. And then they repeat it back in their mind, and they start using it in context in their life. They start going, this is a computer. No, it's something else, right? Whatever the name. What is the word for computer in Luxembourgish?
Computer.
Ah. Complicated. What about another language? What other languages do you speak?
Portuguese.
Okay, Portuguese. What is a computer?
French, ordinateur.
Ordinateur?
Ordinateur.
Ordinateur?
Ordinateur.
I don't know.
In Portuguese, computador.
Computador. Okay. Okay, so computador is what this is, right? Now, if I don't use this in context, right? If I don't go, okay, from now on, this is computador, right? Then this will always be a computer to me, and I won't learn your language, right? I'll be a terrible student for you. So what you're saying then is that learning the word and then putting it in context in your real life and applying it immediately, not like later on, but right now, as soon as you get it, you go, okay, computador, over and over and over and over again. That's what allows you to learn a new language. You have to be that student with me. If you are that student, when I tell you something that is outside of your reality, before this was computer to me, now it's computador, right? Okay, so that's outside of my reality. That's something new for me. But I have to put it in context. I have to accept it as truth and use it. And when it starts to work, then I start to really understand that this is real, right? So what I'm telling you now, and the thing that is going to be very difficult for you to accept unless you get in the student mindset is that the things that you think are holding you back are actually not holding you back. Your age is not holding you back. The kids that were teaching you in London how to do day game, there's a part of you that can do that. You are that person. You can do that if you want to. You don't want to do that right now. That's what's going on. You don't want to be that guy, right? Okay, fuck, you don't have to be that guy. I'm not asking you to do that, you know? I don't want to be that guy either. Look at me. I'm not doing that. But I do want to have the ability to be that fucking guy. I don't want to be trapped in myself. I want to have the options. And the only way that I can have the options is to practice being those things that I'm not. Wyatt Woodsmall is he's the guy who taught Tony Robbins. Tony Robbins learned things just driving in circles, apparently. He taught Tony Robbins neuro-linguistic programming, which is what Tony Robbins uses to do all his motivational speaking stuff. And Wyatt also taught me as well, and I have a program that I'm actually helping Wyatt right now do a program for himself. But what he taught me that is going to be very useful for you here is that in order to become something, in order to learn something or to improve yourself at all, you have to become not me. Does that make sense? You have to be not you. If you keep going, I wouldn't do that in your head, you will never get anywhere. This will be a total waste of your money, you know? And I won't want you here, you know? Not that I'm trying to kick you out at all. I'm just saying that I want you to choose right now. I want you to decide. Either choose to be who you are currently or to not be who you are, which means you can be anything you want, right? And I'll help you. I'll guide you along that process, and so will Brad and Connor, you know?
That's why I'm here.
That's why you're here.
To listen to you and to learn and to do it. And if someone tells me to do it, then I will do it.
Well, it's not about doing it.
Nobody knows me.
Okay. So let me tell you to do something. All right? Okay?
Okay.
I mean, you said this is what you're here for, right?
Okay.
So if you're here to do what I say, then I'm telling you, believe this. All right? Believe that you are no one. You aren't what you currently are. That's what I'm telling you to do. If you can do that, we can continue. You know, this will be very, 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 very good for you. I mean, there's a lot of beliefs in your head that you are going to have to go totally against, completely against, you know? Like, you dress yourself to fit in, to not stand out. That the opposite has to be true. You're going to have to stand out. Not that you need to go crazy and, like, wear a fucking feather boa and a big tall top hat or anything stupid, but you need to, you know, you're not a white button-up t-shirt, black slacks, a belt tucked in, and some black slick shoes. That's not who you are, you know? Like, you are something else. There's something else in there. Like, you walk by a store and you see some clothes and you're like, I wish I could wear something like that. You know, when you do that in your head, fuck, throw away all the clothes that aren't like that, you know? Throw away everything. Force yourself to start over. You know, if you're going to wear this as a uniform, just wear it to work. And don't wear it outside of work. Because you're not a professional person. You know, don't do that. I mean, when you need to be, you are. But don't be trapped in that. You know? If you don't own who you are, it owns you. Is that clear? So don't let it own you. You have to own who you are. You have to decide who you are in any moment. And if you decide in 5 minutes to be something totally different, dude, I will fucking totally, I'll applaud that. You know, that's who I am too. In 5 minutes, if I hate pizza, I'm never fucking eating pizza again. You know, and then 10 minutes later, if I like pizza, I'll order a goddamn pizza. You know, and if you're like, hey, didn't you hate pizza? I'll be like, I did hate pizza.
Like with Guinness.
Like Guinness, exactly. Am I a Guinness drinker? I don't know. I like Guinness, but I don't drink Guinness anymore. You know, why am I able to give up Guinness? Because it doesn't own me. It's not part of my personality. Nothing is part of my personality, and nothing's part of yours either.
Here's a question. How does this relate to coming back to sort of more of an objective reality, like, say, you know, you fart a lot when you have beans?
Okay, so that's an observation, right? It isn't true or false. It just is what it seems to be. If you see something over and over again, it can be a pattern, but saying that you are that you are allergic to beans is an overstatement, you know. Saying that if you have beans, you'll probably have gas. That's
well, I'm allergic to peanuts. Let's go with that one.
Okay, peanuts is great. So does that like constrict your throat?
No, I used to be that way. I grew out of it, so now it's like pass out for 2 hours if I get the allergy pills.
Oh, so you fall asleep basically.
Yeah, lose all the blood sugar, fall asleep.
Oh, okay, blood sugar.
But
okay.
It's not something. Maybe. It's not something I'm sure I could choose to change.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know either way, really.
Yeah.
But in this case,
in the ground, like.
Yeah, yeah. Trust me, everything has to connect there. So if it doesn't connect there, this is a good question.
You have
to do this. So for peanuts, for example, there's an observation that you had that when you have peanuts, you fall asleep, right? Makes sense.
Or used to choke.
Or used to choke, right? Okay, so you have some kind of reaction to peanuts. I have a reaction to wheat, right? So that's why I can't have Guinness, right? I can have Guinness, but if I do, I choose the outcome, right? There's a cause and effect based on our reality, our external reality, and especially with our bodies physically as a cause and effect. I don't really live in a world of cause and effect anymore, mm-hmm. but I'm still aware that if I do something, something may happen. It's not 100%, but I choose a risk in my mind. Do I want to risk it or not? Just like you do, right? It's not something that you have to avoid. You don't have to avoid anything. You can do whatever you want to, but if you eat peanuts, your reality will probably be that you'll pass out, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so if you want to pass out, maybe you eat peanuts. You know what I mean? There's a tool that you can use. Everything around you is a tool that you can use to step into or step out of a reality, you know?
Okay.
When you don't have a reality, you have free access to any reality. When you have one reality, you're confined within that one reality. Does that make sense?
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit. Okay, so we're getting somewhere at least.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's say, let's go away from peanuts. Let's go into another one, so maybe we can get another example. Let's go to something a little bit less obvious, like a little bit less tangible.
Okay.
So, because it's easier to understand in that world.
This with the peanuts. Like, I can't choose to be someone who's not allergic to peanuts.
Yeah, but you can... You can not choose to be someone who is. It doesn't mean that you are going to all of a sudden not have the reaction to peanuts, but it means that you're not bound by that belief.
Ah, gotcha. Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So you can observe it happening. Mm-hmm. This is really advanced stuff, by the way, so this is, like, kind of complex. You can observe that happening. If ever it doesn't happen when you eat peanuts, you'll be aware that there's something different this time, you know? But if you're allergic to peanuts, you'll never have that ability to see outside that reality.
Yep. You know? It's being recorded, right?
Yes.
Okay, sweet. Thanks.
Yeah, do you want me to delete it? Or?
No.
It's
a keep it. I want to listen to this later.
I'm totally kidding. I'm going to delete it.
I just need the restroom.
Sure, yeah. And there to the left, yeah. So this is the most important thing. I'll never say this again. I'm just kidding. No, go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying sorry for...
No, don't be. This is perfect. Yeah, this is great. But does that make sense, though? Are we, like, on the same page now? Like, we're redefining the idea of a belief, basically, for you.
Yeah,
it's not like a belief used to be what you observed as being true. That's not a belief. That's just an observation, you know? A belief is something that is true in your mind, and then you try to see it out here, right? So, I'm allergic to peanuts. I have a gluten intolerance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, do I really have one? No. I mean, but when I eat gluten... Shit, man, my stomach hurts. Well, I don't know what to say. It seems to be that happens every time, but there are times in which I eat gluten, nothing happens. Does that mean that all of a sudden I'm cured? I don't know. I don't know what the fuck is going on. But I'll look for patterns, you know?
And I'll find
the difference. The way that I got to a gluten intolerance is I was like, every time I have Hefeweizen, I have heartburn. It seems, right? So I was like, fuck, man. So I stopped drinking Hefeweizen. I was like, oh, I have no more heartburn. Drinking, right?
Yeah.
And then I was like, I eat pizza. Okay, every time I have deep dish pizza, I have heartburn. And I'm like, fuck, what's going on? What's the connection between Hefeweizen and heartburn, you know? Or Hefeweizen and pizza. And then it was other things. Then I realized it was sugar and alcohol together, too. A bunch of other stuff, too, mess up my stomach.
Yeah.
So I started to see these patterns. But if I was just like, oh, I'm gluten intolerant, then I never would have seen that sugar fucks me up and alcohol and sugar together fuck me up.
Oh, yeah. So there's a point, yeah. I mentioned rubber meets the road. So I'll take an example of you going off a bike jump. Right, you can believe that you're going to make it, but really, you got to pedal harder.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. If you believe, just believing won't change the outside world.
Yeah.
But it will change your perception, so anything based on your perception, which is like 90% of the outside world, and all of society is based on your perception, will change. And will match.
The bike is based on,
The bike is based on a physical reality, right?
Yeah.
Which isn't true or false, really. It just is an observation. If all of a sudden you have a bike that's easier to ride, or I don't know, you're doing the same thing you did before, but all of a sudden it works. Maybe the gravity's lighter that day. I don't fucking know. We just don't know. We have no idea, you know? And being open to that, I don't know, is really what this is all about, you know?
Yeah, so you're saying it was 90% of our reality is perception, and so we choose our beliefs to line up with what we want in that moment.
Exactly. And worst case scenario is the other 10% won't be in alignment because it's unmovable in that moment, you know? But the 90% that is movable, fuck, man. It'll be working in your favor. Yeah, that's a lot. That's a whole lot. It's more like the 80-20 rule, really. The 80-20 rule is 80% of the time one thing, 20% of the time the other thing.
Yeah.
So 20% of the work does 80% of the progress, that kind of thing. And the last 20% is 80% of the effort, you know, to get there. So anyway, so that's kind of how the world seems to work in some kind of an 80-20 split. I don't know why that is, but it seems to be. So
cool.
Yeah, I don't know. It's my perception, at least. So, getting back to you, Alberto, my point is that my really sincere point for you is that we can't continue until I know that you're willing to give up who you think you are. You know, the reason why you didn't bring that stuff back from London, the day game stuff back from London, is because it's not who you are. You were like, this isn't me, you know? And the this isn't me thing is what keeps you from bringing that shit back. Like, wouldn't you rather have that option to do that? Not that you're going to do it every day, but you at least want to have that option to be able to walk to a girl in the street and flirt with her and pick her up, right? If you want to. If all of a sudden one day you decide you want to be some playboy that gets laid every day, you know, that you want to be a bachelor and, I don't know, whatever. It doesn't fucking matter. Whatever you want to do, you have two options. You're either confined by your current beliefs or you're freed by having none or having few, you know? You choose, and you're choosing now. And you came here to hear this from me. This is why you came here. You know, you're here for a reason, and this is. And I don't know why you're here until we start communicating with each other. You know, and then I figure it out. So, anyway, what I hope for you, and I want an agreement with you first before anything else. I want an agreement that you're going to give up the. That's not me thing. Okay. And then when you leave here, you're going to have a strong temptation to become who you were. But I hope that I kill that guy before you leave. I hope that's what I hope for you. So I'm going to put kill Alberto. The truth is I'm not killing Alberto. I'm freeing Alberto. I'm killing whatever the fuck you think he is. You know, whatever you've been told he is. That's who we're killing. You know, I'm not really going to write kill Alberto, but I'm going to write a remove. Well, what I really want you to do is dissociate as the mask. The mask that you're wearing right now, the disguise you're wearing, is not you. It's a disguise you wear, right? I want you to realize that's not who you are. You are not this person. So I'm going to remove the disguise. I'm going to remove your association as the disguise. You are not that thing. This is like fucking... You're about to go through... The craziest thing you've ever experienced in your entire life. This is, without a doubt, if this is the stage that we're at, this is going to be you waking up for the first time. You're gonna be mad at times. You're probably gonna be mad at yourself for believing bullshit for such a long time. You're gonna be mad at the world for selling you that bullshit. You know, there's gonna be a lot of strange emotions, but let them all come out. You know, they're real. Those things are good. You know. Have you seen Fight Club?
Mm-hmm.
Watch it. That is, watch it. Watch Fight Club. Tyler Durden is your savior in Fight Club. He is you. He's who you really are. You're going to resonate with that movie really well. He's the guy who just said, fuck it. No, I'm not anything. I'm just going to be whatever the fuck I want to, you know? And that's really how society is. When we get to value, if all we did was have this conversation, by the way, you guys would be fucking amazing at meeting women. But we're going to do more than that. Lucky for you. But it is really the most important thing. So I'm going to write remove association as, I'm going to put the disguise. Okay. That's what I want for you. Yeah, of course. It's great because I got to go from your question about me to figuring out what I want for you all in one go. But do you realize that what you were asking me before is there any way I can stay who I am and still get this down? You know, do I have to become something I hate? No, don't become something you hate, but at least know how to be something that you hate, you know? At least accept that you can be something that you hate if you want to, you know? You don't want to ever at any point go, you know what, I'm going to be a male stripper now and then not have the option to do that. Not be like, and not know where to go from there. Be like, I don't know what to do with strip pole or whatever, you know, fuck it. You know, if you want to be something, you can fucking be it. Can be whatever you want to, okay? So I will show you that in this course, and so will Brad and Connor. We're gonna tear you to little pieces, and we're gonna show you what isn't you. Which we'll find out is quite a lot. So, is that okay?
Okay.
Just the part of you is going, no, no, don't do it.
I'm a bit wrong. Yes.
No, he won't be drunk. Yeah, I become nothing when I'm drunk. Well, then yes, be drunk all the time. Whatever you need.
And then when you're drunk, then I will be again the
yeah.
old one, yes?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So then you just get to be drunk all the time.
Okay.
My goal for you is to make you an alcoholic. That's living in Germany basically makes you an alcoholic already, apparently. It's like people are drinking beer like midday, just drinking beer all day long. So they do.
That was 2 weeks ago.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right. It's Oktoberfest. Jacob.
Yeah.
Okay, so first, any question you might have for me, especially
yeah.
your biggest burning question, I'd like to get that first.
Like you said you have a mission in your life. What is it?
Oh, man. My personal mission?
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with anybody, to be honest. It has everything to do with nobody. It is, my current mission is to reveal all the lies in my life and then unknow them as beliefs. Basically, find the truth and then believe the truth.
For yourself.
Yeah. Which is surprising. How elusive it is, how difficult it is to find. Part of that process, the part that I'm on now, is finding my fears and then facing my fears, because every fear is a shroud of avoidance around a belief that you don't want to be true. Things that you believe now that you hope aren't true, you know? And then surrendering to fear is what allows you to be free from it, not fighting. You can never fight fear. Fighting doesn't work against fear, you know? The more you fight against it, the worse it gets, you know? For example, I did Shaolin Kung Fu for 6 years, and my fear that brought me into Shaolin was that I would be weak forever, you know? Like, picked on and sort of, like, messed around with and not in control for the rest of my life. So I came into it trying to get the things I thought I was lacking, like control, like power, like strength, you know, things like that. So I came in, but what you realize when you get in is that you have no control. You really have no control. And knowing martial arts, all it teaches you is that you can get the shit kicked out of you by anybody. That it's not just the people you think can kick the shit out of you, you know? There are ways you've never even thought of that to get the kick shit out of you. Like, there are, and that's just learning within the system, like within the process of a school. You know, where there are rules. In a real life fight, like outside, someone, you could be fighting somebody, they could just pull out a gun and fucking shoot your ass, you're dead, you know? Or not shoot you and kill you, but shoot you and paralyze you, now you're not dead. Now you're really fucked, you know? Like, the fear is what drives you to this false sense of security, you know? So, what's the truth? The truth is that you're not safe. No matter what you do, you're never going to be safe. You know, there's no sense of safety that you can look to that will be there, that will always be there, solid forever. It's not true. So that's what frees you, not the part of you that thinks that you can overcome this, right? The illusion of control is the fear, right? It's the thing that we run toward, the lie that we run toward. So yesterday I went to Dachau, and walked around the concentration camp, and I was looking for fear. That's what I was looking for. I wasn't there for whatever everyone else was there for. I mean, not consciously. Everyone though gravitates. You notice this. They gravitate toward the suffering because it's the thing they run away from. So they want to look at it and be able to look at it and still exist in society, you know? But that's not why I was there. I was there to find the fear, and I found it. Fear for me was the experimentation that they did on people, you know? The experiments that the army army did here on the captives of Dachau was scary to me, right? But I imagined myself being experimented on. I got a little nervous, you know. Nothing else scared me, really. I imagined myself being everything there. I imagined myself. The first thing I did as soon as I walked in was try to figure out a way out. That's the first thing I think everybody probably does, you know. But that's fighting. That's trying to figure it out, you know. The truth is, I would probably die, and I would probably be tortured, you know, because who knows, I might try to escape, you know. It's just that in that moment, or I might be so scared I'm afraid to do anything, but I imagined every scenario I could in my head, and I tried to sit at peace with every scenario. The only one that I couldn't sit at peace with yet was being experimented on, you know, medically experimented on. So I've got to face that shit. I don't know how I'm going to face that, but I'm going to have to. I'll probably watch lots of, learn a lot more about it. I'll probably expose myself to it a little bit more. I might go get surgery. I don't fucking know. You know? So, I mean, I'm sure I could get surgery on something. I have ailments, you know? I'll just tell them that I need surgery. I need surgery. I could get rotator cuff surgery right now if I wanted to because my shoulder hurts, you know? But I have a fear of surgery. I have a fear of needles, you know? Like, these things scare the shit out of me, and they own me because of that. So my mission, personally, is to get rid of it. The beliefs that are underneath that fear have to go, because no beliefs are true.
Okay. But what I was, like, saying is, what is your purpose in life? Like,
there is no purpose in life. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
I don't have a purpose in life. You don't have a purpose in life either. We can make one up and have fun with it, you know? If I tell you that one, I can tell you that one that I made up just to have a good time and just to, like, experience stuff. But that's not real. I mean, it'll change over time. I'd love to end settling in the world where people don't feel like they need to settle for shit that's not perfect for them. You know, that's why I do this for people. But it's really not why I'm alive. You know, to think what I'm going to challenge you to do is to separate the idea of having a purpose and having a reason for being alive. The truth is, you don't know why we're here.
Yeah, but for me, purpose is more like where I'm going.
Yeah.
The path that I choose for me, for myself.
Yeah, but even so, I bet you don't know. Even if you do have an idea about where you're going, that's the point. The point is that that's a belief that if you have some place that you want to go, you can go get there. But when you get there, the first thing you realize is that you're not there. You never show up, you know? The whole living your life is really the purpose of being here, you know? That's the real purpose. I know that you probably would want, I would want something else. I wish that there was some other answer, you know? But I'm looking for the truth. I'm not looking for a fantasy, you know? Does that make sense? I know it's weird. Yeah, I know it's weird, you know? But ultimately, the only thing that I really know is that I don't know anything. So beyond that, what am I talking about? It's everything's an assumption, you know?
Because you're the law, like, for man, it's that you need to get their purpose and then stay on it and provide for the family and stuff.
Yeah, that would be that belief, I think, would make society work really well, you know. But it doesn't help you control society at all, or control your surroundings or your reality. That forces you into confinement again. That makes you become something, you know. Like, your search for, how old are you?
23.
So I totally understand your position. Like, this, like, search to be a man, you know?
Yeah.
And the biggest misconception that I almost wish someone had told me, but I kind of don't, because the way I found out on my own was really awesome. But the biggest misconception is that being a man is something you have to be, something you have to do to become a man. Like, you're already a man, I promise. You've got a cock. I haven't seen it, but I'm sure you do, you know? I'm sure you see it on a daily basis, you know. That's not the only thing that makes you a man, you know, but the cosmic joke, the biggest joke, and I'm telling you as being Josh Pelissier, author of The Tao of Badass, like the fucking guy, I'm the guy talking to you right now, you know. The cosmic joke is that you're already a man and you don't have to do anything to become a man. Now, what does that mean? It means there's a bunch of bullshit in your life keeping you being a boy in your mind. That's really what you're talking about. Yeah. Not being a boy, that's being a man. You know, so
but it isn't the same, right?
No.
Not a boy, you have to be a man.
No, no. Well, yeah, automatically you are a man, right? But there's a big difference in how you think about it. Not being a boy is undoing shit. Mm-hmm. That's what you have to do. Becoming a man is doing shit. Do you see the difference?
Yeah, sure.
Like trying to get something.
Two different directions.
Totally different directions. If you're headed toward being a man, you will never get there. If you're headed toward not being a boy, you will get there. That's the only way to get there. So you have to undo all the shit that makes you a boy in your mind, you know?
Yeah.
Undo that. Don't do anything else. Just undo that. And when you do, you take away all the crap around you that makes you look or feel like a boy.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
So there's not really anything to do. That's kind of my point, right? The purpose, if you're going to have a purpose, should be to undo your purpose. To undo that stuff, you know? To get rid of all that shit that you think you need to do. You'll see that. You'll see that playing a lot in this conversation. This is going to be our conversation that we have. Everything that we talk about is going to be about this, because everything in your life right now is about being a man, you know? And I understand that fully. I mean, I coming into the Tao of Badass, even writing the Tao of Badass, I had that in mind the whole time I was writing it, you know?
How old were you when you wrote that?
I was 20, let's see, I must have been 27 or 26,
okay,
maybe, whenever I started writing it. But I had the stuff that I wrote about in there, I learned. I was probably about your age, maybe, a little bit older than you, 24, maybe.
Yeah.
Just get a whole, we get the whole, all of Germany, sounds of Germany soundtrack going on right now. Someone needs to be selling a Bratwurst. Bratwurst!
And some music, like.
Yeah, yeah. It's accordions or something.
Yeah.
I know that that's a strange thing to hear, and what's probably going through your mind right now is that, what if that's not true? Like, there's probably somewhere deep in your mind that's saying, what if that's not true, and what if
what's going on in my mind is like, I don't get it.
Okay, great. That's great. So if you don't get it, that's just you admitting the truth, really. That's you undoing something. This is kind of the process, right? Understanding,
yeah,
that you don't get it.
I mean, I heard the concept, but I never got the concept, like, I don't know. I know that I don't know, because
mm-hmm.
it's so hard to get your mind around that, right?
Well,
it's logical.
It's very, very easy, honestly. The hard part is holding. Yeah. Yeah, well, the hard part is holding on to the stuff you think you know still and knowing that at the same time, right? You can't do both. That's like saying, okay, have you ever heard of a concept called cognitive dissonance? It's a weird psychological term, so, and it's an American term too, so, or American term, I think it's just an English word either way, so you may have never heard it in general, but cognitive dissonance is the idea that you can't hold, that your mind won't hold two contrary beliefs at the same time. And if it does have two contrary beliefs, then it has to reconcile them. One has to be more true than the other most of the time, and then sometimes you'll have to have a context around one that makes it different, right? Makes it a special case. For example, you may think that this is just me, I'm making up, but you may think that all coffee tastes like crap unless it's a mocha, right? Because mocha has chocolate. So chocolate makes, maybe your belief is that chocolate makes coffee taste good, right? Okay, so that's a belief that you have. They're two contrary beliefs. Mocha is coffee, right? But all coffee tastes bad, bless you. You know? So how can you have both those beliefs? Well, you have to have something around this to make it make sense, right? So what you're doing right now is I'm introducing a new belief to you. And it's flying in the face of every other belief that you have, that you know anything at all, right?
Yeah.
This is you, so far you thought, you saw a man that you thought was a man, an archetype of a man, and you said, what do they do? Well, they know these things. And you're like, okay, I'm going to know these things. And you're starting to learn these things, right? And so you feel like you're starting to get reactions. You're starting to get people around you are starting to believe that you're a man, right? But you will never feel like a man, ever. You'll never accept yourself as a man. It won't happen unless you undo the child. It's not the becoming the man thing, right? So you're talking about two different things. Let's be specific, right? The world perceiving you as a man, yeah, the world is, but the world's retarded. Like, the society, they don't know. They don't fucking know, dude. You're way smarter than them. As long as you know that you don't know anything, you're way above them. I mean, already, just from what we've talked about, this puts you in the top 1% of people in the world, not just men, but people, as far as understanding society, you know, and getting what you want. Already, we haven't even said anything about technique yet, because this shit is at the core of everything, you know. So ultimately, what's going on, the reason why you can't wrap your brain around it is because you're trying to hold on to two things at once. When you know, you've got to let go of one in order to pick up the other.
Yeah.
You know? So the first thing is letting go of all the things you're trying to do. It's so relaxing to do this. You know? It might feel weird, but trust me on this one. You know? I've been there, and I know, and I came out of this, and I know where you're going. This will work. You know?
Okay.
So you can let go of all that shit. You're all the stuff you've already done, you don't need to do anything else, really. Honestly, you've got like most of the shit that you wanted to get done handled. Now you're like in the last 20%, forcing it. Like, it's taking 80% of the energy to get the last 20% of what you think is being a man. That's because the last 20% is really elusive. It's not there. It doesn't exist. The last 20% is on the other side, on letting go of being a boy, you know? So you're going to be facing your fears too, you know?
Yeah.
For whatever reason. You know, but right now, let's say it's being a man, you know, or not being a boy in this case.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Kind of.
A little more sense, at least?
A little more sense. Yeah.
Okay. And as we kind of go through this process, that'll make more and more sense to you. But whenever we go out, this shit's going to fucking not be there in your brain, because right now you have a habit of thinking you know something. So you need to remind yourself every day that you need to unknow shit, unknow the beliefs, unknow the lies. You know, you're probably gonna be mad too when you figure out everything that's been all the lies that you currently believe. That's okay. You know, nothing wrong with being mad about that. But you need to push beyond that. What you don't want to do is latch onto another belief that is just it's just as bad as the last one. You know, and you've never not believed something. You've always believed something in your life, as far as you can remember existing, right? Because as soon as you start to believe something, that's whenever you exist.
Okay.
That's what you are.
You, because everybody says you have to believe positive things in your life, and then something positive will happen from that.
That's the way you manipulate society.
And you go beyond that and say you don't really have to believe anything.
Well, you can't really believe anything, to be honest. I mean, if you believe anything, it's a lie. Everything that you believe is a lie. That's what a belief is. A belief is another word for having faith that something is true, but without any evidence, you know, to say that it is.
To get some security in your life.
Exactly. Yeah. Just for security, exactly. Because you're afraid of not security, right?
Yeah.
But if you are comfortable with not security,
okay.
Guess what?
I get it.
You don't need beliefs now, right? That's
you
kind
choose
of...
You believe whenever you like to believe. That's what you said.
Exactly. Now you understand. Now you totally understand. And the only reason why you would choose a belief is because... Fuck it. You know, you're in a situation where you want something to happen. You want an experience, you know,
yeah.
You choose a belief to get that experience, and getting women is just an experience that you want.
Yeah.
You know, so all you want to do is choose the right beliefs to make that happen. And then you believe them only when you want that. And then when you don't want it to happen, you just fucking drop it. I can walk into a bar and no one, not a single woman will look at me at all. I can sit down at the bar, I can enjoy a beer, and my stomach will hurt, but I can enjoy the beer, you know, most likely. But I can enjoy the beer, I can sit there for 2 hours, right? And I can leave, and no one will say a single word to me, no one will come to me and talk to me. That same bar, I can come back to, turn it on, and every single woman in the bar will want to fuck me. I have this option, you know? And this becomes very powerful when you have a girlfriend and you don't want people to want to fuck you. You know, or you meet your friend's wife and you don't want her to fuck you or want to fuck you. You know, there are certain realities that I don't like that I just gravitate away from because I don't really like them. It's just not that fun to be around them, you know. And one of them is my main overarching reality that I don't like is captivity.
What's you know,
captivity, being in jail, basically,
okay.
In yourself, like being confined within a set of rules that I didn't make for myself. Right? So I don't, okay, so fuck that. I don't have rules. Okay. Now what do I want to be? This is really what it's all about. This is what masculinity is. This is, my book is called Masculinity 2.0. That's the book that I'm writing. It may not be that name later, but that's at least the name that I'm writing it to, you know, just because real masculinity is not about what we think it is, you know? And this shift is away from being a man and toward not being a little boy, you know? Which is a lot scarier, actually. And more motivating, you know? If I said, be a man, you might be like, okay. But if I was like, stop being a little bitch, you'd be like, fuck. You know? That's like, fuck, am I being a little bitch? What's wrong with me? Like, that's a lot scarier to hear than be a man, right? Be a man, it's like, triumphant, yes, I'm gonna go be a man, watch 300, and be a Spartan, you know?
Yeah.
But that's not really what being a man is.
Because you never heard it. Something so different, nobody says to you, don't be a boy.
Yeah.
Everybody says, be a man.
Right. Right. But why?
It sounds good.
Oh, also, though, not being a boy frees you from society. Being a man confines you to society. So, of course, Maya is going to tell you to be a man. Like, that makes total fucking sense. You know what I mean? If I wanted to piss you off, I'd tell you to be a man because it's not going to work. If I want you to be miserable, I'd tell you to be a man. You know? And if you want to be miserable, that's what you'll think. You'll just be like, I got to be a man because it will never work. You'll always be a boy trapped in a man's body, and you'll always be pretending. And then anytime someone believes that you're a man, you won't respect them anymore because they'll be believing the lie that you know is untrue.
All right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And then no woman can date you all of a sudden. You're untouchable.
Yeah.
As no one can stay with you. So you shoot yourself in the foot, you know, and then walk around like this, the pain in your foot, you know, limping, pretending like it doesn't hurt. That's kind of what we do as men. Everybody goes through this, you know. The problem is we don't have a rite of passage. You really want to be a man? If you really do, fucking go in the woods by yourself without any food and try to survive.
Yeah.
For as long as you can. I did this.
I thought of doing it.
I did this. I lived in a tree for a little less than a month. Didn't bring any phone. Yeah, I didn't bring any food. I had to find my own food.
So you basically just brought clothes.
Water.
Water.
I didn't. I mean, I brought.
Bag?
Nope. Nothing. Just a rope. A rope.
But in the summer,
then,
right?
And then water. Yeah. I'm not. It doesn't matter what you know. There's always a colder place to go if you're going down that route. You know, it's not about surviving the harshest of environments.
Right.
It's just knowing that you can survive. But when I did that, the strangest thing happened to me. My internal monologue, the voice in my mind that talks all the time, shut the fuck up. It didn't tell me anything. It stopped telling me what to do. It stopped telling me that things were right or wrong. There was no right or wrong. If I saw something being killed, I didn't feel bad. If I saw something, triumphantly doing something, like raising a family, like if I saw an animal with a family and they were like cuddled on together, I wasn't like, aww, you know? I didn't have that shit because that's not really there. I became an animal. I would come down, I would climb down from the tree and sprint in whatever direction I wanted. There's 360 degrees for me to choose from. I just chose a direction and ran in that direction for as long as I wanted to. I was an animal, you know? You're not alive until you realize this is who you really are. This is what rite of passage is. But we don't do this anymore. Because Maya wants you to think that rite of passage is getting a job, making money.
What's rite of passage?
Rite of passage is like a becoming a man, basically.
Like in the old
tribal. Yeah.
Tribal.
Yeah. Like go and walkabout.
Yeah.
You know, like go away and then come back a man, right? Or do ayahuasca or this, drink this magical drink and then you start freaking out and then you become a man, right? Like it's the destruction of ego that makes you a man, not the creation of ego, you know? And destruction of ego is the only truly scary thing. That's why it's the only thing that makes you a man. You face your fears. That's what's scary. You know how they used to have it? So it's like, you go out and you come back with a tiger skin, you know? You have to go out and kill a tiger with your bare hands. Like, why? Why the fuck are you doing that? Well, the reason why is because you have to basically prove to yourself that you can survive. You have to know that you're here that you can do these things, basically. You know, it has to be hard. You have to face your fears. Your biggest fear you have to go against and you have to come back, you know? But the biggest difference between that and true manhood is that you can't kill the tiger. The tiger eats you and you die. That's what happens. The boy dies, and it feels like death. It's not fun. Anybody that tells you that it's fun hasn't done it.
Yeah.
You know? I've done DMT. I've smoked DMT, which is a chemical that's in ayahuasca. Ayahuasca is a really potent psychedelic. This is 5-MeO-DMT is the most powerful psychedelic known to man.
Okay.
And it is in every rite of passage ever created, pretty much. There's like a ceremony where you drink this drink or whatever, and then you fucking go apeshit, and you're like, don't know what is real and what isn't real, but the thing that actually happens is that you die. You have the sensation of dying. You experience death. And all of a sudden, you're not so scared of it anymore.
Okay.
It's the scariest thing you've ever experienced in your life, but after you've done it once, it's not as scary, you know? It's going to happen to you. I don't want to spoil the ending here, but you're all going to die. You know? I mean, it's one thing to grasp that logically. It's another thing to know that it's going to happen in a moment just like this. Does that make sense? You'll be sitting here thinking that it's going to happen in the future, not thinking about it at all, doing some bullshit that doesn't make any sense for your life.
I'm 23. I'll never think about that.
Well, now you are. You know?
That's pretty hard.
Well, you will. Because you're not going to get where you need to go without it. Death is the... Jed McKenna is a great author, and he wrote several books. But in one of his books, he says... He's describing death. And he says, death is the monster you could ride into any battle. Anything. You can ride death into any battle. It will always make you brave enough to face any fear, knowing that you're going to die. Because right now, hanging over you without you knowing is death, just waiting for the moment.
Yeah, no, I mean, I get the concept.
No, I know.
But
I'm just telling you, I'm telling you this is the truth. It's beyond what you understand right now. But as I tell you, I'm getting through to you. You're hearing this. What doesn't want to hear it is the part going, oh, I already know this. That's because you don't want to hear this.
All right.
You don't want to know the truth. The truth is that you're going to die for real. For real, you're going to die. Not like a concept, but you really are. It's that scary. It's really going to happen. And when you see someone else die, you see it being fucking freaky. You see that that's something strange, and what you do immediately is go, that's not me, or they're old, or they have cancer, and I don't have cancer. But you don't know that. They didn't think they had cancer either until they realized they had cancer. We all have a cancer. It's called life. You know? We're dying every second of every day. That's why you can't afford to be this thing, this mask, or this disguise, because you're going to die. You can't wait that long. You know? You got to do it now. You got to start living now. Fuck that. Now. Most guys your age don't do this. They wait till they're older to do this because then it's staring at them in the face. Every day when you look in the mirror, you see a new wrinkle. You know you're dying slowly. You know? Then you have to face it. You know what they do? They go, I wish I had just known this when I was younger. I would have done so many things differently. You know? I wouldn't have lived my life this way. You ever heard an older person talk like this?
Sure.
This is why they're doing it, because they know they're going to die. If you want to learn anything at all, learn you're going to die now. Really know you're going to die. You know? It's fucking freaky. And if you think it's scary, then we're on the same fucking page. You know? even though I faced it, you know? And I've almost died several times. I got sick recently. I almost died when I was sick. I started to feel myself fucking fall away. And I was like scratching at staying, but I was accepting if I was going to go, I was going to go. But nothing gets scarier than that. Nothing. I've almost drowned before. Nothing.
Yeah, me too.
You know, when your life starts to flash before your eyes, it's not as long as you think it is. It's a quick, like, all right, now you're dying. You know, it's more like a, oh man, I guess my family will cope. They'll deal with my death and they'll be sad. So I'm sorry that you're going to be sad, but it will happen. So in my mind, I was thinking, you know, if you believe that I'm not going to die and that's the reason why you're happy, then there's already a problem. You know, you're already living a lie. So this is just a truth and I'm going to die now. And I almost died when I was drowned that time. The more you have in this world, the harder it is to let go when you do. The less you have, because you don't actually own anything. You're born with nothing and you die with nothing. This is how it is, you know. The more you think you have, the harder it is to let go. And that boy in you, that part of you, the ego part of you, is going to have to die. So you're going to have nothing. You need to know the truth, you know. This is like the greatest moment of your life. This is the greatest moment of your life because this is the beginning of the worst torture you've ever been through. I know it sounds totally counterintuitive. But it is the way through this, the confusing, scary, delusional way of like not knowing which way you're going. That's the way out. That's the way out of the maze. You know, when you come to a wall, you have a realization you need to make. Either you realize that this life isn't a hallway where you walk down the hallway, in the hallway, there you are, you know. You realize that it's not a hallway and maybe it's a maze and you have to go some other direction. Or you don't and you sit there and cry. You never go anywhere if you do that. You just sit there right at the entrance, at the first turn. You don't know which direction to go. You're like, life wasn't supposed to be this way. Fuck this. I'm not going anywhere. I'm sitting right here, you know. Or I'm going to plow through this wall, you know. But you can't. You can try, but you won't get through. And even if you do, there's going to be another wall on the other side, you know. And there'll be walls everywhere. The only way to get through it, through life, is a surrender to the fear, you know? And you will be doing a lot of that here.
Yeah.
You know, that's why you're here,
yeah.
Is to surrender to this fear. So the fear that you're going to be facing here is going to be rejection. And like, dude, you're young, you're good looking, you know? You have, you're welcome. It's just who you are, I don't know. It's because that's like, you know, Woody Allen says, sex is like air and money. It's not a big deal, and you don't care about it unless you don't have any.
Yeah, I know.
You know?
I got it.
Like, you have it, so you don't care about it, right? That's how it is. So, there are things that you want that are a big deal that you don't think you have, right?
Yeah, sure.
I'm just saying that this is what's going on right now in the world for you. You've got, like, your good-looking guy, and not just that, you already know how to pick up women, you know?
Yeah.
I can see that in you. Like, I can spot it from a mile away, you know? I can see that.
Yeah.
But there's a difference between you and me, and that's why you're here, you know? And you want what I have. And what I have, in order to get what I have, you can't do the same thing you did to get what you have.
No.
It's a totally different process. I had to learn how to get what you have, too, you know? Like, I didn't consider myself an attractive guy at all. And then eventually I was like, fuck this, I'm just going to believe I'm hot. And then I did, and it worked, you know? So that was great. I got that handled. But it was difficult, you know. I thought it was going to be more complicated. I was trying to do something different. I was trying to go a different path, you know. This is a totally different... It's not that it's a new evolution of your learning. It's that it's a new human. You're a new human in order to go where you're going. You're a new thing altogether.
And once you become a new human.
Yeah. No, you are. This is it. This is the beginning, you know.
Yeah.
And this thing's going to eat away at you, especially the death thing. Don't run away from it, though. Because a pussy runs away from it, you know? A little boy runs away from it. Does that make sense?
Totally, yeah.
This is the whole time you're here is going to be programming for you, and you're going to love this, dude. It's going to change your life forever.
Awesome.
So, okay, let me just put, Jay, goal is not be bitch. I'll put not be a boy. Sort of to like, the goal, you know, a lot of people say that the positive psychology of the world works for being in society, but you can't manipulate society or make this world work in your favor by using the rules of society to do it. You have to step outside and see the whole thing, and then you can start going in and fixing it. You know, this is seeing the whole thing. This is what you're doing right now. You're starting to see the bigger picture. Do you feel weird right now? Like,
kind of, yeah.
Feel strange to think this way, you know?
Yeah.
This is what you're actually transforming right here, sitting here, but this isn't the end. And more importantly, this can go away if you let it. You can go right back to the old way if you want to. So keep that in mind.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
Whew, okay.